Thank you kindly. You may be seated. I would love to call the names of each of that SBC committee. You have them listed there, and how grateful we are for what these have done. With this session of the convention, our Jubilee Advance program is brought to a climax and, for the most part, to a close. However, there were two committees that will function on through 1964. The one for the Jubilee celebration, Dr. Porter Ruth as chairman, last year at the convention, after some year or more preparing a program for 1964, you were given that program in track form. But since that committee will function, and we hope that each of you will seek right on through the year to carry out those suggestions, I want to recognize Dr. Ruth, ask him if he has something on his heart to say to you at this time. Dr. Ruth?
Thank you, Dr. Warren. I should like to just say two or three things that we have learned from this Jubilee experience. The first thing is that we have been driven back again to a biblical study of our foundation. And as so Dr. Gray so eloquently reminded us this afternoon, we have been forced to study something of our Baptist history and Baptist heritage. We have sought to build bridges of understanding. I think we have all learned to appreciate something of the problem, something of the opportunities which are before us as we face the tremendous challenge of this day in which we live, with all of the problems which are before us. Certainly, as we come to think of the Jubilee celebration, we do not want to think in terms only of the past, but we would like to express appreciation for what you have done in your own church. We have heard of so many churches where they have had a study of Baptist history, where you have sought this year, in this Jubilee year, to make it a most meaningful experience in the life of your own church. And now, for the days to come, we trust that all of you will make plans to be here tomorrow night, that you will register before that time to hear Mr. Brooks Hayes and Mr. Diefenbaker, the former Prime Minister of Canada, both Baptist laymen, as they shall come and speak to us. And then Saturday morning to hear Dr. Latourette, perhaps the outstanding Baptist historian in the world, and a discussion on some of the areas of common agreement and some differences also. And then on Saturday night, there will be the premiere showing of an oratorio written especially for the Baptist Jubilee Advance. You will hear, for example, Irene Jordan, one of the stars of the Metropolitan Opera, as she comes to sing in this oratorio Saturday night. This is something that all of us will want to share in. Then Sunday morning, as we come to worship together with Dr. John Surin, the president of the Baptist World Alliance, preaching for us. And then a climactic service on Sunday afternoon with Billy Graham bringing the closing message. You will be much in prayer for these services. We trust that all of you will join in making this Jubilee one of real celebration as we draw it to a close. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth, for the tremendous contribution which you have made to our Jubilee Advance program. Another committee which will function on through the year is our Church Extension Emphasis Committee of 1962. Immediately after that committee was appointed, it became evident that that committee and the 30,000 committee were functioning identically the same purposes. Dr. Arthur Rutledge, Director of the Division of Missions of the Home Mission Board, is Chairman of the SBC 30,000 Committee and of the Church Extension Emphasis Committee for 1962. I've asked him to come and tell us something about the significance of the meeting here and what is being done and the unending challenge to organize churches and missions. Dr. Arthur Rutledge.
Thank you, Dr. Warren. Some months ago in West Virginia, a man said to me, "I'd like for you to thank whoever is responsible for the beginning of this church here for this undertaking." For he said, if this church had not been constituted here, growing out of a mission which had begun earlier, I would not be a Christian tonight. That 40-year-old man went on to say, and I doubt if I ever would in my life have become a Christian. This man found Christ through the ministry of one of these churches constituted during the 30,000 movement. This was one of the more than 5,000 churches begun in this movement since 1956. Our report, as this last year began, showed that 21,900 new missions and churches had been started, or at least had been reported. Others doubtless have been started and not yet reported during the period of the 30,000 movement. It is our hope and prayer that this last year of the 30,000 movement will be the greatest year of all, and we shall move on toward that goal of 30,000. We thank God for every church and all that every one of these 33,000 churches are doing to reach people for Christ, to help them to grow in Christian maturity. But we have learned during this period, if we did not know it before, that there are multitudes unreached who will not be claimed for Christ unless we go where they are with a service of preaching or teaching the Word of God. Our unchurched population has been increasing during these recent years by more than 1 million a year. Since we have come here to begin this convention, the number of unchurched, if these have been average days, has increased in our country by more than 10,000. When the 30,000 movement period ends, the need for new churches and missions will not end. May this, under God, be our greatest year in the 30,000 movement, and then may we move on into 1965 and 66 and the years ahead with compassion for the lost, a desire to extend the kingdom of God and to lead people to know and follow Christ. May we move out to where these people are and start the missions, the chapels, constitute the churches, begin the institutional ministries to bring people in touch with the Christ, the Savior of the world that so badly needs him.
Thank you, Dr. Rutledge. Now I would like to speak an hour, but since I have only a minute and a half left, I believe, I want to read just the last paragraph of the report, and let me urge you to read that. There's information there that you need. It's interesting. It'll be helpful. Our people ought to know more about the Jubilee Advance program. But relative to what Dr. Rutledge has just said, I add this. If we fail to keep alive this growth dynamic generated in the 30,000 movement, the meaning of the Great Commission for us will fade, and sadder days will be upon us as we see more of our churches passing into oblivion. As Albert McClellan has said, and I quote, the church in which the growth dynamic remains alive reproduces itself in other churches and lives, in fires it lights on other hearts. But the church whose hands are insensitive to the life they hold are dead. Congregations are rarely ever permanent, but the life within us is always permanent. Of his church, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Thank you, Dr. Warren. The next item of business is the report of the Stewardship Commission with Merrill D. Moore of Tennessee. Chair recognizes Dr. Moore.
Mr. Chairman and fellow messengers, the Stewardship Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention is assigned three programs. the program of cooperative program promotion, the program of stewardship development, and the program of endowment and capital giving promotion. Our report to this convention is found on pages 152, 159 to 162. It was my desire at this time to recognize tonight the chairman of the Stewardship Commission, Mr. W.C. Ribble, who is the executive secretary of the New Mexico Baptist Foundation. Is Mr. Ribble present? I would like to recognize him if he is. In the bulletin on page 3, you will find the recommendation of the Stewardship Commission, and I shall read that recommendation for your vote. It is our conviction that the cooperative program of Southern Baptists is the fundamental, effective, and indispensable channel of providing for the needs of all our Baptist work. And we urge all Baptists to join in giving the cooperative program their loyal and undivided support. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? You wish to discuss it? If you approve, you will indicate by saying aye. Those in opposition will vote likewise. It is so ordered.
One of the three programs to which I have already alluded is the program of endowment and capital giving promotion, which is the newest program of the commission and one of the newest programs of the convention itself. It was assigned to the commission when the commission was created in 1960 and became fully operative in 1961. This program gives us the privilege of working closely with the executives of the foundations of the several states affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Foundation, the directors of development in the institutions of our convention and our several state conventions, in something of the same manner that we are privileged to work with the state executive secretaries, the state stewardship secretaries, the Sunday school secretaries, training union secretaries, Woman's Missionary Union, and so on, in the convention and in the several state conventions. The staff member of the Stewardship Commission, the Director of Endowment and Capital Giving Promotion, for the past year and a half has been Mr. James C. Austin, who has done an admirable job in this capacity. He has been with the Commission for nearly 3 years now, first as Director of Stewardship Development and then as Director of Endowment and Capital Giving Promotion. It is with deep regret that I announce to you now that Mr. Austin is going on or before September 1st to be the Executive Secretary of the Kentucky Baptist Foundation. We greatly hate to lose this valuable staff member. We shall have the privilege of continuing to work closely with him in this new relationship, and we congratulate that state upon securing his leadership in this capacity. Our program of endowment and capital giving promotion goes forward with aggressiveness and with vigor. The calendar of the Southern Baptist Convention has for January Make Your Will Month. Materials to assist your church, the members of your church, to learn the privilege that they have of being good stewards of their estates during life and after death, will find assistance in the emphasis and in the materials that will be available for you in your churches to help you to do this for your members. You will watch in the Baptist prayer, the Baptist program, and the denominational publications to learn more of these materials. Is Mr. Austin present? Mr. Austin, will you stand here as I express to you our appreciation for the splendid work that you have done, and to bid you Godspeed as you shall soon go to this new responsibility. The Lord bless you. Many times in the past 16 conventions, it has been the privilege of the Stewardship Promotion Department of the Executive Committee and then the Stewardship Commission to present to you through the voices of many different personalities something of what the cooperative program is and means and may mean to Southern Baptists, and to call to help us all to lead our people to understand it better and to support the cause of world missions and all the educational and benevolent work of Southern Baptists through the cooperative program. Tonight, we shall focus upon the area of stewardship development. 7 years ago, on the instructions of this convention given in Miami, Florida, there was developed the Forward Program of Christian Stewardship, which has been a blessing in thousands of churches throughout the convention. We should like to recognize at this time the leadership of several of the states where there have been many of the churches that have used the Forward Program. It is difficult to know exactly how many have, so we shall tonight recognize the leadership from those states where more than 25% of the churches have ordered Forward Program materials and presumably have used the Forward Program. If these men will come rapidly as I call their names, I would like to join you in recognizing their leadership and their contribution to the work in their states and around the world in this achievement. From the state of Maryland, Dr. Roy Gresham, the Executive Secretary. Mr. J.N. Evans, the Stewardship Secretary. Would you come very quickly and stand here? And from Hawaii, 54%. From Maryland, 56% of the churches have ordered Forward Program materials and presumably used them. From Hawaii, 54% of the churches. Dr. Edmund Walker, the Executive Secretary. From Indiana, 43% of the churches have ordered and presumably used Forward Program of Christian Stewardship materials. Dr. E. H. Moore, the Executive Secretary, and Mr. F. J. Redford, Secretary of the Department of Missions, Church Finance, and Brotherhood. The state of Kansas, 34%. Dr. N. J. Westmoreland, Executive Secretary, Mr. Paul F. F. Paul Allison, the Assistant Executive Secretary. The state of Ohio, 30%. Dr. Ray E. Roberts, the Executive Secretary. Washington, D.C., 30%. Dr. Chandler Stith, the Executive Secretary, is in District of Columbia tonight with his beloved wife, who has recently undergone hospitalization and an operation. We will be prayerful in our support of them at this time. I ask Mr. James Duncan, the Director of Stewardship Promotion, to represent the District of Columbia Convention, where 30% of the churches have ordered and used Forward Program materials. The state of Virginia, 26%. Dr. Lucius Powell Hill, the Executive Secretary, and Mr. J.C. Hatfield, the Assistant Executive Secretary. The state of Arizona, 26%. Dr. Charles L. McKay, the Executive Secretary, and Mr. Roy Sutton, the Stewardship Secretary, and also Mr. Irwin Dawson, who works in this department. We congratulate these leaders upon this achievement, and we rejoice with the churches in what they have found this program to mean to them in leading their people to a deeper understanding and a more faithful practice of Christian stewardship. We salute you and we thank you. You may be seated. A major emphasis for the year 1955-56 is one that fits in with that goal and objective that Southern Baptists have had for many years, every Baptist a tither, with the goal of enlisting immediately 2 million tithers. 2 million Southern Baptist tithers for Christ now, with the call to tithe now. For this story, I present to you the Director of Stewardship Development of the Stewardship Commission, Dr. James V. Lackey. Dr. Lackey.
Thank you, Dr. Moore, messengers.
Through the years, every Baptist a tither has been the objective of Southern Baptists. This worthy statement continues to be our objective and will always be our beacon light. With this objective constantly before us, it is necessary and practical that we move toward it with a series of attainable but worthy goals. In 1965, Southern Baptists will be praying, planning, and working for 2 million Baptist tithers. The Stewardship Commission and the State Stewardship Secretaries have adopted this goal. 20 of the 29 state conventions have already set their individual goals. When 2 million Baptist tithers are enlisted, the increase will amount to almost 50% in the number of tithers. It will amount to almost 50% in state, home, and foreign mission receipts. It will amount to almost 50% in increased local congregation ministries and more than 500,000 additional Southern Baptists will have committed themselves to the Bible plan of Christian stewardship. Every state convention will set a worthy goal. Every association will set a worthy goal. Every church will set a worthy tither's goal. Every Baptist will make a decision. Program leaders have been responsive in a wonderful way to this challenge. I wish to read just a few of the letters that we have received from program leaders across our convention. Miss Alba Hunt, Secretary of the WMU, says, WMU has historically had tithing as basic in its stewardship teaching. In the current plans, we hold before our organization a basic objective of an increased number of tithers each year. The effort by Southern Baptists to enlist 2 million tithers in 1965 will have the support of WMU. Such efforts will fit into our stewardship education program and therefore will stimulate interest and we pray commitment to the practice of tithing. Dr. George W. Schroeder of the Brotherhood Commission says, the Brotherhood Commission will do all that it's possible, they possibly can, in projecting plans to enlist 2 million Baptist tithers. A.B. Washburn, Secretary of the Sunday School Department, says, the challenging proposal that Southern Baptists renew a strong emphasis on tithing meets with a hearty response. Certainly we shall be glad to undergird this effort in every way possible through the Sunday School program. Dr. Philip B. Harris of the Training Union Department says, we shall be happy to join in leading our people to participate in this project. It is indeed a most worthy enterprise. Porter Ruth says, we want to keep in mind that every Baptist should be a tither, but the goal of 2 million is one which is realistic for 1965. Courts Redford of the Home Mission Board says, I think every bit of progress we make toward this goal will be helpful to all concerned. It will first of all help to glorify our Lord in the hearts and minds of those who give and in the eyes of all who observe this dedication of wealth. It will be a blessing to the participants as they get the thrill of scriptural giving and lay up for themselves eternal treasures. It will be a tremendous help to the mission boards and to the other agencies of the convention as they constantly seek to enlarge their ministries and do more for the needy peoples of America and of the world. Baker James Cawthon, Foreign Mission Board, says, just at the very point when we are calling for a new thrust in worldwide missions, looking toward having 5,000 missionaries under appointment at the earliest possible date, it is greatly encouraging to realize that the Stewardship Commission and the State Stewardship Secretaries have felt impressed to launch a campaign to enlist 2 million Baptist tithers. Evidently, the Lord must be leading all of us at the same time in this matter, and I rejoice in what all of you have sensed with regard to new potentialities in this very great potential. Tithe now will be our message for 1965. 2 million Baptist tithers will be our goal for 1965. Every Baptist a tither will be our continuing and constant objective.
Thank you, Dr. Lackey. Let us, together, make this year of which Dr. Lackey speaks, this year when we shall be seeking to lead our people to understand and to practice more faithfully this great spiritual, biblical doctrine, let us together make this year, this a year in which we present to the churches our common world mission task more effectively than ever before. Let us make it a year when sharing Christ with the whole world becomes not a slogan, but a consuming passion. Let us make it a year in which the cooperative program becomes not just a channel, but the primary channel. Let us make it a year in which the cooperative program is not a nebulous idea in the minds of church members, but a matter of spiritual life and death, which lays heavy and unceasing claims upon concerned Christians. Let us make this year one in which faithful stewardship is not a special mark of dedication of an elite corps, but the mark of everyone who says yes to Jesus Christ and has his name enrolled among his disciples. Let us make this the greatest year in Baptist history. Let us make it a year in which every Baptist shall seek not only to receive God's blessing, but to give himself in a new measure of devotion to become a greater blessing. Let us act more than ever before now. Mr. President, I move the adoption of the report as a whole.
Is there a second to this motion? It is seconded. If you approve, you will indicate by saying aye. Anyone opposed by saying no. And it is unanimous. Call now upon our director of music for a word of announcement.
I've been asked to announce that this evening, after this service, beginning at 10 o'clock until 11, at the Garden Pier, which seats 3,000 people, we will have a sacred concert featuring some of our own Baptist musicians who are here attending the convention. So you'll want to keep this in mind, and I suggest you take a warm coat and a blanket with you if you plan to go to the Garden Pier tonight at 10 o'clock. Now we would like to sing together hymn number 31, one stanza, We've a Story to Tell to the Nations. One stanza, hymn number 31, We've a Story to Tell to the Nations. May we stand together as we sing. You may be seated. For our special music this evening, it is my privilege to present Mrs. Martha Branham, who is a soloist at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. You will be blessed by her singing tonight as she comes to bring a special message, a missionary message, to our hearts in song. Martha Branham.
In searching for the message that God would have me to share tonight. My own minister of music, Leroy Till, gave me this song. And as I read the message through, it touched a chord that I had felt last spring by the thousands of people that had never heard of Christ, even once. And I think that tonight I can still hear them saying, "Is it nothing to you?" And we did not know when we selected the song that this was part of the topic of Dr. Coffin's program that is to follow. Is it nothing to us?
Bless me.
chair would like to say that the service this evening is of such a nature that I would hope that not one would leave until the benediction has been pronounced. There are several reasons for this, and you will see as the service moves forward. This is a very earnest plea, and let nothing but an extreme emergency call you away until the benediction has been pronounced. We cannot and must not close this hour with confusion and noise. Come to the great hour in which the Foreign Mission Board of our Southern Baptist Convention presents its program, and it is a pleasure to recognize and present at this time the beloved and honored Secretary, Dr. Baker James Cawthon.
Brother President, the report of the Foreign Mission Board is printed in the Book of Reports beginning on page 43. It contains no recommendations calling for action. It is a report of the story of foreign missions around the world, and I would like to move its adoption now.
Second to this. You're the second. If you approve, you will indicate by saying aye. Any opposition? No. It is unanimous.
Brother President, it is always a joy to come on Foreign Missions Night to share with this convention the work of Christ around the world. I believe we come borne up by your love and your prayers, because this is your outreach. The Foreign Mission Board is simply a channel by which every church in the Southern Baptist Convention, be it in a metropolitan center, be it a mission point in some suburban area, be it a rural church, be it away in the mountains, it is simply a channel through which that church reaches out across the world in the implementing of the Great Commission of sharing Christ with others who have never heard. It is therefore your labor that you are doing that we come tonight to discuss. I would like at this point to present to you your missionaries who labor all across the world together with their area secretaries. We will take them by the several areas in which you find them on the platform. First of all, we shall ask the missionaries who serve in Africa together with Dr. Cornell Garner, their secretary, to stand. Thank you. Recently, the area that had been known as Africa, Europe, and the Near East was divided and became two areas, one of which now is Europe and the Middle East. And the missionaries from that area, home on furlough, are not so numerous, but we shall ask them and their area secretary, Dr. J.D. Huey, recently elected for this responsibility, if they will stand. Thank you. The missionaries who serve in Latin America with their secretary, Dr. Frank K. Means, will they please stand? Thank you. And the missionaries who serve in the Orient with their secretary, Dr. Winston Crawley, will they stand? Thank you. Now, I see here somebody I want to present to you. I didn't even know he was on the platform. But somebody in the back, help Dr. J.R. Saunders to get up and come around here as quickly as you can to the microphone. I want to present him to this convention. Dr. J.R. Saunders, on next to the last row. If I had seen him, he would have been here already. While he is coming, I want to present to you the staff of the Foreign Mission Board together with our president, Dr. Homer G. Lindsay. Will they please stand? Thank you. Now, Dr. Saunders is on his way up here. I want you to meet one of the oldest of the missionaries. He doesn't stand alone at this age. There are several others in our fellowship, but he is the oldest one present tonight, and I want you to see him, and I want him to come now at this time.
ago.
This is Dr. J.R. Saunders. He went to China in the year 1901. I had the joy of going down to his station, where he served and where he was loved by the people, and saw them as they lined the railroad tracks to wave goodbye to him and his companion as they bade farewell from China. Dr. J.R. Saunders, when is your birthday, Dr. Saunders?
July.
July what?
18.
July 18, he will be 91 years old. Now, I could say, if you want to live to a ripe old age, go to the mission field. All right, Doctor.
Thank you, Dave.
May I, in this connection also, express on behalf of all these missionaries and the great host of them not here tonight, for there are 1,842 of them at labor in 55 countries, the depth of our appreciation to all of you for the undergirding financially and spiritually in this enterprise and representing you in this. May I come closer to express the appreciation to all of you who labor in the work of the cooperative program about which we have just heard. Dr. Merrill Moore and the Stewardship Commission and all who labor in it, because when we talk about the cooperative program, we are talking about a great army of Baptist people in all of our churches and Baptist organizations who labor in this matter. But I'm so happy to tell you that Dr. Merrill Moore, who in his post as Executive Secretary of our Stewardship Commission symbolizes this concern for us, is going to have the joy next month, along with Mrs. Moore, of seeing their own son, Dr. Merrill Moore Jr., highly skilled as a surgeon, to be appointed as a missionary to go to the mission field. More than money, more than labor, is a giving of life itself. And with this expression of appreciation to those who labor in the work of the Stewardship Commission and all the cultivation of the cooperative program, let me from my heart tonight, on behalf of all of us, express our depth of gratitude to Woman's Missionary Union for the labor of love that she performs year by year in the undergirding of the cooperative program, in the undergirding of mission study, in the undergirding of prayer, and the undergirding of mission support through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And to these ladies who represent the work of Woman's Missionary Union, to Mrs. Fling and to Miss Hunt and to Mrs. Mathis, and to all of you who are a part of this labor, may I say that this great offering, about which all of you know that was so recently laid upon the altar in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, becomes missionaries and hospitals and schools and preaching, as it, along with the money brought through the cooperative program across the world, lifts high the banners of the Lord Jesus Christ and means ministries to the ends of the earth. Tonight, it's my very great joy to present to you Dr. Rogers M. Smith, the Administrative Associate at the Foreign Mission Board, who is going to preside for the remainder of our service.
Mr. President, Dr. Colton, and Christian friends, it is my privilege now to introduce our next speaker on the program, Dr. John Sorin, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Dr. Sorin is the third pastor of this church, which was established in 1884. The founder and first pastor was Dr. W.B. Bagby, the first missionary to be appointed by this board for service in Brazil. Dr. Bagby served from 1884 until 1900. In 1900, the father of our speaker tonight became the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Rio and served as the pastor of that church until 1933. In 1935, Dr. John Surin became the pastor of this church. Dr. Surin has been a leader among the Brazilian Baptists, and he is now the leader of the Baptists of the world, having been elected as president of the Baptist World Alliance at the meeting in Rio in 1960. Dr. Surin served during World War II as a chaplain in the Brazil Army. He has served as a teacher in our seminary for many years in Rio, besides serving as the pastor and as one of the outstanding leaders in Brazil. Dr. Surin has three children, and he's very proud of those three children. But from the way he talked to me before this service tonight, I think he's just as proud of his two grandchildren. I'm happy to present to you Dr. John Surin, who will be speaking on The Door Is Now Open. Dr. Surin.
I want to stand up. The first president of the Baptist World Alliance who has ever been named to that post from a land to which our missionaries have gone. And when you go to the First Baptist Church of Rio de Janeiro, and there you share a service with this man of God, you find a peculiar sense of the Lord's presence there. Dr. Surin, on behalf of Southern Baptists, we welcome you, and may God's blessings be upon you and the church you love and the land you love and the great cause around the world you serve so nobly. Thank you, and you'll be seated.
Thank you, Dr. Paul.
Mr. President, Dr. Baker James Cawthon, noble and beloved missionaries, we thank God for you. God bless you. I bring to this convention the greetings of the Brazilian Baptist Convention, the largest Baptist convention on your mission fields, representing 232,000 Baptists by the last count, which means that Baptists in Brazil are the fifth largest group of Baptists in the world. It gives ordinary Baptist preachers an inferiority complex when they are called upon to speak about missions or about work on the mission fields in the presence of a group of missionaries such as that which you have on this platform this evening. They are the true examples of the apostolic faith. They are the authentic ambassadors of peace and goodwill in the name of Jesus Christ. They are the ones you should be hearing at this time. Dr. Cawthon, however, has very courteously invited a Brazilian preacher to bring to this great gathering of Baptists of the Southland some specific information about the Brazilian nationwide evangelistic campaign in 1965. As you remember that there are 230,000 Baptists in Brazil, and that there are almost 70 million inhabitants in Brazil, you can easily imagine what we are up against as we plan a nationwide evangelistic crusade in 1965. The general idea of a nationwide evangelistic crusade is an indirect product of a unanimous decision of the Rio Congress of the Baptist World Alliance recommending that 1964 be observed as the year of evangelistic emphasis. As Brazilian Baptists were considering the matter, Dr. Rubens Lopes, president of the Brazilian Baptist Convention, suggested that the plan of a nationwide simultaneous evangelistic campaign would be the ideal solution for such emphasis. The idea was evidently a God-sent inspiration, because it immediately gripped the hearts and imagination and the enthusiasm of Baptists in all parts of the country as nothing ever has before. The plan was formally adopted last January in the 46th annual session of the Brazilian Baptist Convention by a unanimous standing vote with prayer and praises unto the Lord. Now, there are three main objectives to be attained through the 1965 campaign. We felt that we needed a whole year for preparation. And these are the three main objectives. First, more souls for Christ. Many souls for Christ. Thousands of souls for Christ. That is our first objective. My dear friends, I have been asked frequently, what is the reason for the very exceptional growth and progress of Baptist work in Brazil, as contrasted with what happens in other fields, especially in Latin America? I think there are several answers to that question. But the first answer is this. The main reason is the foundation which was laid by your pioneer missionaries who went out to Brazil to begin the work. It has been suggested that they were supermen. They certainly were not. I personally knew several of them. But they were spiritually minded men, spiritually inspired men of God. And they'd had a consuming passion for lost souls. And the Lord guided them in this strategy of evangelizing my country. And to this day, that spirit has permeated those who have gone after them, and the Brazilian leaders also. And we are concerned with this main task, which is leading Brazilians to Christ while it is still day. As you have read the newspapers, you have observed that recent political trends in Brazil have had a very deep meaning upon our life in that country, in all ways and in all senses. We had a true revolution. And it made us think of what might have happened if it were not for the grace of God. What happened in China might have happened again in Brazil. But the doors are open again for us to preach the gospel to all Brazilians in that country. And you may be sure that Brazil is the key nation in Latin America. As Brazil goes, so goes Latin America. I hope there are no Argentines present here. As it is true that as the United States goes, so goes North America. And now I hope there are no Canadians present. So that is our first objective. 230,000 Baptists in a great effort to win 70 million inhabitants to Christ in 1 year. We can't do that. We will reach everyone by the grace of God. We want every inhabitant in Brazil to receive a message of the gospel in 1965. Now the second objective, more churches of Jesus Christ in Brazil. We have only about 2,000 churches, not quite 2,000 churches in all Brazil. There are many cities with populations up to 50,000, which have not a Baptist church nor any other Protestant or evangelical church. We were examining our situation from a geographical standpoint just recently and discovered that in the state of São Paulo, one of the most evangelized states in the Brazilian Union, there are over 30 counties where there is not one Baptist church, one Baptist mission, one Baptist preaching point. We need more churches in Brazil. And the third objective is more lives for the Master. Lives on the altar of service, for mission work, for the pastorate, for all the services of our denomination and for the kingdom of our Lord in our country. We have a very large home missionary board in Brazil with over 200 missionaries, but we are just on the fringes of our task with that great country, which territorially is of the same size of the United States, with 70 million inhabitants. We would like to have not 2,000, but 200,000 workers given their lives entirely to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the dimensions of that crusade are tremendously large. We have set up our central committee in São Paulo, and as president of that coordinating committee, the president of the Brazilian Baptist Convention, Dr. Rubens Lopes. The executive secretary of the coordinating committee is missionary Earl Peacock. Some of you heard him at the Kansas City Convention last year. He gave a brief report on the São Paulo simultaneous crusade, of which he was executive secretary also. He mentioned nothing of what he did. He made no reference to himself. But he was a power in the hands of God for that great crusade in the state of São Paulo, and he has been invited officially and unanimously by the Brazilian Baptist Convention for the post of General Secretary of our Coordinating Committee for the Crusade in 1965. We have set up regional committees and state committees all over the country. And if you would like to have an idea of what we are planning for, I would tell you that just before leaving Rio, the Committee on Literature had one of their final meetings, and they put in a request for 10 million gospels for the crusade. 10 million gospels. That means 60 tons of paper. That means 12 5-ton capacity trucks to move those 10 million gospels. That's a tremendous task for our small numbers. I am sure that we didn't exactly understand what we were getting into when we voted to have such a crusade, nationwide, simultaneous crusade in Brazil. And so, just as I was preparing to leave Brazil, Dr. Rubens Lopes, president of the Brazilian Baptist Convention, asked me to convey a message to this great Baptist body in the United States. And his request is this, that these 10 million Southern Baptists undergird our crusade with your prayers. Will you pledge yourselves to prayer in behalf of that immense task we wish to carry out next year? We are having a week of prayer every month of the year. We are having sunrise prayer meetings, all day and all night prayer meetings. But what we need at this time is your prayer. And if you would see fitting, and with the consent of our honored president, If you pledge yourselves, and you pledge yourselves to prayer, and to lead your churches to praying for Brazilian Baptists in 1965, in their effort to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every Brazilian in my country, will you kindly lift your hand? May God bless us as we pray. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Seren. Dr. Lopez wanted to make sure that a message was conveyed to this convention. He must have thought that Dr. Seren might miss a plane in New York. So Dr. Carlson received this telegram from Dr. Lopez today. Brazilian Baptist Convention, Brazilian Baptist Jubilee Convention, thanking you for your great missionary work in Brazil and your help in the realization of a nationwide crusade in 1965. Rubens Lopez, President. May we pause for just a moment of silent prayer and a short prayer for this crusade at this time, please.